T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're back. Marks and Reese. So the Tuesday, the day after a tough loss in Atlanta, a lot of injuries. Like, normally you lose a wide receiver. All right, you lose a wide receiver. Then you lose your other starting wide receiver. You lose your other starting wide receiver. You lose your second tight end. You're only the only tight end, the other tight end that's on the roster. Mm-hmm. But they came back in the fourth quarter. Almost got it done. And joining us right now, every Tuesday, he joins us at 3 o'clock, Eagle great Mike Quick. Of course, you hear him on the call with Merrill Reese right here on 94 WIP. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Q?
Hey, man, I started to look for my helmet the other night.
Could have used you.
Now, think about that, Q. Have you ever been a part of something like that where you lose, like, three of your starting passing weapons before you get through a first series?
No, that to me was just crazy. You know, I saw Dallas Goedert early, during the warm-ups, when he was walking around with one of the trainers, and I was wondering what was up with him. But then, you know, you get into the game, and the game has barely started, and Deshaun's on the sideline, and then Alshon's on the sideline, and it's like, now what do you do?
Yeah.
Because really, you know, coaches spent all week game planning and putting the game plans for these guys and these packages for these guys, and then all of a sudden they're unavailable. That's a tough hand to be dealt.
Yep. Yeah, talk about that a little bit more, Q. When you're an offense, right, and it's a little easier on the defensive side of the ball, right, because we know how our defensive schemes work. But as an offense, you're talking about timing, you're talking about precision, and if you don't have players that have practiced those specific roles throughout the week, how difficult can that be for an offense to sort of find a rhythm early in the game?
I think that's got to be one of the most difficult things to happen right before a game starts, that you're going to lose that many guys. If you lose one guy, okay, you can lean on another portion. But to lose three of your top weapons, of your top four weapons on your team, before the game even really starts, that is the most difficult position I could imagine you being, other than losing a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But to have that many guys go down, that's just – and the day before the game you do the walkthrough, and you go through the contingency plan. Okay, number 10 is down. Who fills in?
Right.
So you go through that. You know these scenarios that you've gone through, but you go through a scenario that's that deep.
Yeah. And especially where you're going to have that much time where you're going to have to play without them. It's one thing if it happens in the second half.
The whole game.
Yeah, right. You're talking about the whole game this had to go on.
Yep.
And they said, I guess Mike Groh had said today, if you remember, Nelson Aguilar went out for concussion protocol. Groh said that Sproles would have had to line up at wide receiver. That's how desperate they would have had. He would have been the next guy up. Well, Mike. Well,
I just can't imagine that they, Alex Ellis would probably come back up this week from the practice squad. I think they would have to do that.
Yeah, there's going to be maybe somebody gets released because of a roster crunch right here, Mike. So, Mike, let's start with a couple issues with the offense. Let's start with what we talked about last year, and it's going into this year, is that just the slow starts on offense. What are you seeing when you're watching the game? What are you seeing? It's only two games, but like I said, it's an extension from last year. What are you seeing that's causing some of these slow starts?
Some mistakes, and then some just smart game planning on the side of the Falcons or the other team, who kind of understand what the Eagles do and what they do well, and they're ready to take that away early in the game. But some of it is just simple mistakes and some blown assignments. But I always want to give credit to the other side. You know, those guys are talented too. Those guys, they've got all pros and scholarship guys on the other side. Sometimes they understand what you do and they're able to take it away, but that's one area that this team has to get better at. They haven't done anything in the first quarter for not just this season, even going back to last season. And I don't know the remedy for it, but that's something that they really have to spend a lot of time trying to figure out.
Mm-hmm. When you look at Carson playing the quarterback position, right, and some of these early starts, I'm wondering, is there an anxiousness there, right? We get this nervous anxiety before a game, and it's sometimes excitement. You're a little overexcited because some of his throws looked a little off in that game. And Doug mentioned that he thought Carson, considering what he had out there with him, he was trying to force things to happen, to make something happen, and that's where some of those interceptions may have come from.
Well, I do believe that he could be pressing a little bit, and especially early in the game, to try and make something happen. One of the worst things you can do is try and force things to happen. You got to allow things to happen and just organically or naturally let things just happen. And if you're trying to force the issue, it just causes more tension, and you're going to see more balls sail or more balls that are off target because of the tension that's in your game. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's I believe, is part of it as well. Carson didn't play well in the first quarter. In fact, in the first half, wasn't one of his best halves of football. He came back strong in the second half, but you could see early in the game that he was off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could. Mike, offensive line, I think that the Falcons' defense was helped by the fact that they didn't have a second tight end to use in blocking situations, and they knew Alshon and Deshaun were out. It made the job a little bit easier, but the offensive line, Carson was taking some hits, and they weren't able to run the football. Overall, how did you think they played on Sunday night?
Well, I think that's a real concern because you don't want to see your quarterback getting hit that many times. I think that's a real concern, and that to me is one of the things that you have to shore up more than anything else. You want him smarter with getting rid of the football, but you want that line of protection better so that he's not taking as many hits. That's a good defense, and I'll give them that. They do a nice job in their schemes, and I think they really attacked the offensive line once they realized that they could. Once they started to feel better, that defense about themselves, they really start to attack the Eagles' offensive line, and they had a lot of success. You just can't allow that, and I think one of the ways you get away from that is you run the ball better. And they didn't run the ball well. And I think you have to start early establishing the line of scrimmage by running the football. And I'm hoping that's what we'll see on Sunday at the link, that they establish the ground game against another formidable foe with the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm. They did get the passing game going a little bit there in the second half, and particularly in that fourth quarter. And one of the stars of the passing game was Nelson, right? We know Nelson was the best receiver out there, made some tough catches. Obviously had the touchdown catch to pull the Eagles to 17-12, I believe it was. As a receiver, you have a play like that one that he dropped. We all know what pass I'm talking about. What's his mindset like, I guess? Or walk me through that play, Q. When you get a play like that and it's almost too easy of a catch because you don't have any type of obstruction in front of you, walk us through what a receiver is sort of going through on that play.
Well, I can tell you this. First of all, when you beat that guy in front of you and you know that you've got a couple of steps on him, that's one of the best feelings you can have. One of the worst feelings you can have is when you don't look the ball all the way into your hands and you end up dropping the football, not scoring in that situation. And it's a feeling that you'll carry for the rest of your life. And trust me, for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. I still think about the pass that I dropped in high school. that was 40-some years ago.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it is. It's a tough, tough thing to deal with. Nelson is a quality receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who plays the game, they're going to drop passes. You hope that you don't drop the ones that are going to make a difference, and I think that one could have made a difference, but it happens, and it's going to happen. I just hope that he doesn't allow that to affect his next play. And he came back and he caught a big one over the middle on fourth down that put
Huge.
The team in score.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was major.
Yeah.
Put the team in scoring territory once again. And I was really happy to see that for him and for the football team. But that is something that no matter what he does, no matter how many touchdowns he scored for the rest of his career, that's one that he'll have to carry with him the rest of his life.
Yeah, I agree with you. I liked his response after the game, and certainly you can just look at the action on the field. He came back the very next play and made a tougher catch in a little bit of a crowd there to where he was able to pull that in. But we know what Nelson was at back in 2016, right, mentally. And that's the one thing that I'm sitting here like, okay, I don't want this thing to linger, and now he's having doubt about his hands again and this and that and the other. But he seemed to recover from that drop pretty fast. Even after the game, he said, the last play I remember is the one I caught. So it seems like he's conscious of not letting that thing linger longer than it should.
And I really hope that is the case. And you're right. He came back and caught a couple of nice balls after that. Mm-hmm. And if you can hold on to that, if I'm Nelson and I can hold on to that, that's the best position mentally he could be in.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Well, as always, appreciate it. Talk to you next week, man.
Appreciate it, Q.
There he is, Mike Quick. Yep. There he goes. I mean, I don't think we've made enough of the offensive line play, and he said it right there during that call. Carson will not, like, and it's not going to be him being injury prone if he gets hurt. He will not stay healthy if the offensive line can't protect him better.
Look, I just looked at this play right before the one I'm about to break down, coming up here in about a half hour, the Nelson Agholor touchdown. The play before that, I mean, Isaac Seumalo is in Carson Wentz's lap.
Wait, is that where he got pushed back?
Yeah, he got pushed back all the way in his lap, and Carson had to do one of those duck under, pirouette out of there, and he found Mac Hollins at about the 4-yard line. That's what set up the fourth down. But that was a miraculous play that didn't end up in the sack right there.
Yep.
I mean, literally, as soon as the ball is hiked, Seumalo is back in his lap.
Like, if you had to estimate on Sunday night's game, how many plays did Carson actually had to maneuver his way out of being sacked just to extend the play or not get sacked? 10?
Easily.
At least?
At least. And he was hit 10 times last night. Also saw a play where they're trying to run this fake screen to the left and then come back to the right and throw it. How do you not have enough time to run that play?
He had to throw it against the leg of the guard.
Tack McKinley, and he still got hit.
Yeah, he did.
And Tack McKinley
took a shot, too.
Ran around Jason Peters and got a clean hit on him before he can even get the ball off. I'm like, that's not supposed to happen on that play. You should have enough time to run a screen play.
It's one thing if they sniff it out and they don't allow the receiver to get it,
right,
and you eat it. But he didn't have play for it to develop.
To develop, yeah.
Bad, man.
We like Pro Football Focus. Hey, man. They said we had the best O-line in football.
Well, that's Jack's website. I don't subscribe to Pro Football Focus.
Oh, come on.
That's those analytics guys.
It's a very good website.
We got the best O-line in football?
Before the season. Thanks,
yeah,
Shane.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. They were like me before the season. Yeah, then they actually watched the Eagles play.
All right, coming up.
Man.
Good call, Jack. All right, coming up, we see you Eagles phone calls. We get to you on the other side. Also, we're going to lay out the chances that the Phillies make the playoffs coming up next. And let me tell you, Ike, even for positive John.
Yeah, no, keep him going.
Tough to be positive, brother. Wait till you hear this. Wait, like when you actually hear what it'll take the Phillies to make the playoffs,
yes,
you're gonna be like, oh man, they really don't have a chance. 888-729-9494. That's coming up next. Back on the Eagles, Jalen Ramsey. Is Jalen Ramsey gonna be an Eagle? Jason Lockenfour is gonna tell us at 4:00. Don't go anywhere.
Got my fingers crossed.
Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
All right, let me tell you about my new favorite restaurant, Nabraza Brazilian Steakhouse in Horsham. Now, I stopped in for dinner last month, and man, let me tell you, 15 different choices of meat come right to your table. Now, it's a lot of fun with these meat guys coming around with big knives and carving the best steaks right in front of you. Lamb, filet mignon, top sirloin, chicken wrapped in bacon, and even salmon.